Welcome to another presentation of the Gospel Herald. The Gospel Herald is a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. Everyone is invited to attend our Sabbath school and worship services each Sabbath, that's Saturday morning. Our Sabbath school and Bible study begins at about 9:30, and the worship service begins at about 11 o'clock. We're located right in the center of the Lancaster community. Come on out. We'd be happy to have you study and worship with us. On our last couple of programs, we've been exploring the poetry of Charles Wesley, in particular his hymn entitled, And Can It Be?, a song with which many in our listening audience are familiar. Charles Wesley, born December 18, 1707, is known by many as the sweet singer of Methodism and is arguably the greatest hymn writer ever, contributing some 6,000 hymns to our hymnals. The third stanza of this beautiful hymn goes like this, Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeons flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. As we begin, it must be understood that the sinner is a slave. Christ said, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said that in John 8:34. The Apostle Paul agrees with the words of Jesus when he tells us in Romans 7:14 that the law is spiritual, but we are carnal, sold under sin. A man who is sold is a slave. Therefore, the man who is sold under sin is a slave of sin. Peter tells us essentially the same thing, for in 2 Peter 2:19 we read, While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. The prominent characteristic of the slave is that he cannot do what he pleases. He is bound to perform the will of another, no matter how irritating and irksome that task may be. The fact that sin controls proves that a man is a slave. And although everyone that commits sin is a bondservant of sin, the slavery becomes unendurable when the sinner has had a glimpse of freedom, and yet knows that he cannot break the chains which bind him to sin. The impossibility for the unrenewed man to do even the good that he would like to do can be seen in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, as well as in many other scriptures. How many people have in their own experience proved the truth of these scriptures? How many have resolved and resolved again? And yet their sincerest resolutions have proved, in the face of temptation, to be as weak as water. They had no might, and they did not know what to do, and, unfortunately, their eyes were not upon God, as much as they were upon themselves and on the enemy. And so their experience was one of constant struggle against sin. It's true, their experience was one of constant struggle against sin, but of constant defeat as well. Is this a true Christian experience? There are some who think that it is, sinning and repenting, continuously on and on. Why then do we cry out in the anguish of our soul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who will deliver me from sin? Is a true Christian experiencing a body of death so terrible that the soul is practically forced to cry for deliverance? No, certainly not. Who is it that, in answer to this earnest appeal, reveals himself as a deliverer? Says the Apostle, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In another place, in Hebrews 2:14-15, he says of Christ, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And again, in Isaiah 61:1, Christ himself, in his own way, proclaims his own mission. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," he says, "because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." What this bondage and captivity are has already been shown. It is the bondage of sin, the slavery of being compelled to sin, even against your will, by the power of inherited and acquired evil propensities and habits. Does Christ deliver from a true Christian experience? No, indeed. Then the bondage of sin, of which the apostle complains in the 7th chapter of Romans, is not the experience of a child of God, but of the servant of sin. It is to deliver men from this captivity that Christ came, not to deliver us during this life from warfare and struggles, but from defeat, to enable us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that we could give thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, through whose blood we have redemption. How is this deliverance effected? It's done by the Son of God. Christ says in John 8:31, 32, and 36, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." This freedom comes to everyone that believes, for to them that believe on his name he gives the power to become the sons of God. The freedom from condemnation comes to them who are in Christ Jesus, Paul tells us in Romans 8:1. He again tells us that we put on Christ by faith in Galatians 3:26 and 27. It is by faith that Christ dwells in our hearts. In our own American history, on January 1, 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed into effect the Emancipation Proclamation, legally freeing every slave in the United States. That declaration made every slave free. Does that mean that on January 1, 1863, every slave was actually, literally, physically free? No, of course not. What did they have to do to obtain their freedom? Well, actually, they didn't have to do anything. Absolutely nothing. They were already free. The problem is, they just didn't know it. And so what needed to happen? First, they needed to hear the good news that they were free. Second, they needed to believe the good news that they were free. And third, they needed to act like free men. They had to walk away from their slave master. Does it take courage to walk away from something you know and go somewhere and do something different than you have ever known, perhaps even for a lifetime? Yes, it does. And many slaves did choose to stay with their slave master. Oh, for sure, their relationship changed, for deep down that slave knew that he could walk off the farm, claim his 40 acres and a mule, and have his own farm. History tells us that the plan of reparations for slavery in this newly free American land did not go well. On February 5, 1866, Congress defeated that portion of the Freedmen's Bureau Act that gave it the authority to assign land to former slaves. President Andrew Johnson ordered all land titles rescinded. In this sin-cursed earth, there is actually no real tangible way to pay someone back, to repair with money or land, something that has been done decades or even centuries ago. It's not possible. But Christ, with his own blood, signed the emancipation papers for the entire human race. We are free. The same principles that applied to each and every one of the slaves freed by Abraham Lincoln's document applies to us. We are all legally free from sin and sinning. By virtue of the incarnation of the sinless Son of God, by taking upon his sinless divine nature our sinful fallen human natures, we are all in Christ. as Charles Wesley puts it in his song, and quoting from the Apostle Paul, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." But Paul does not stop there in Romans 8:1. He goes on. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." After hearing the good news that we have all been set legally free by virtue of the blood of Christ, we can choose to stay with that former slave owner, that bad husband that Paul talks about in Romans 7. But we must let that old man of sin die. We must be crucified with Christ and be resurrected to a new life in Christ. In other words, after hearing the good news of our newfound liberty, we must walk off the farm. We must believe that even though we may be walking through uncharted territory, walking in darkness, we must believe that Christ has walked that way before us. We can say like Christ in Isaiah 50, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." As we read this, we are not boasting in our own ability to meet the adversary, but in Christ, all of heaven's resources are poured out for us. Every arrow in God's quiver is aimed at the enemy of souls. Yes, friends, it's true. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In our next program, we'll explore more of what it means to be a conqueror. Be sure to tune into this program of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His